You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Should we feel bad for Nick Foles? Did he get a raw deal? Is he in a tough spot? Or should he feel grateful for the contract he has and the situation in front of him? This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook or join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. Don't forget to subscribe to Locked On Bears on YouTube as well to keep up with all of our video content. On the show today, we check in on an impassioned Nick Foles, one who's maybe a little bit frustrated with his situation, a little bit fired up about what he's had to deal with, and maybe ready to move on to greener pastures elsewhere. The Bears may be ready to pass him off to greener pastures elsewhere, but it takes two to tango, and so far the Bears have not found a dance partner. A lot of connections surrounding the Indianapolis Colts, but we'll touch base a little bit on where Nick Foles' fire is coming from here, whether it's justified, whether he's handling this whole trade situation correctly, and then we'll look specifically at the Colts as a potential trade partner and why I wouldn't keep my fingers crossed at this point for any sort of reunion with Frank Reich in Indianapolis. We'll go through some of the challenges that come with trying to trade Nick Foles, in addition to everything we've seen on the field. But let's start with Foles' 2020, and everything sort of from the time the Bears traded for him right at the end of March, beginning of April last year up to now. It's been like, 16 months, essentially, of Foles in Chicago. In some ways, he got a raw deal, and in some ways, he wasn't good enough and wasn't what the Bears needed for him, and now you sort of get this frustration coming out from him, and it's a question of, like, how much of this is outside of his control? How much of this is he justified about it? How much of this is maybe a little bit of quarterback ego, a little bit of defensiveness about his own status in the NFL and among this team, and so how much of it is just being a fierce competitor? There's kind of this delicate line that you cross here of wanting to have sympathy for a player and certainly not holding it against a player for the amount of money he's making. By all means, he should get as much money as he absolutely can, but that becomes a factor in these discussions about his opportunities, where he fits on the team, and where he fits into the rest of the NFL. And so maybe there's a little bit less patience, for example, for a guy like that in this situation that he kind of put himself into, but maybe didn't anticipate things going exactly this way. But it is really the first time we've gotten to hear from Nick Foles since what he had the hip injury last season and exited the starting lineup and went through this whole offseason, and everything changes with Dalton and Justin Fields. And here's how he kind of reflects back on it and some of the things he refuses to really talk about at this point.
When you had a chance to self-reflect after last year, what is your assessment of why it didn't work out better and why you weren't able to carry on as a potential starter here?
There's a lot of reasons that I can't talk about, to be honest with you. It's one thing to create something. It's another thing to know when not to speak about something, and this isn't the right time or place to speak about it. There was a lot of reflecting, a lot of just, you know, getting back and keeping things simple and working hard and enjoying the family and understanding that, you know what, like, I know who I am as a player and a person, and that's the most important thing. And trials teach us a lot about ourselves, and we grow through them, and last year was, you know, the last couple of seasons haven't been the easiest, but I'm still here. I'm still, you know, wanting to play the game. I feel the best I've felt. I've had a great offseason putting in the work every single day to where, you know, coming into training camp, I feel great. I feel the strongest I've felt. Just, you know, I took something that could have, you know, defeated some people and made it a positive. And still here, still working.
To that end, Nick, you've been a great team player, great guy throughout your career, but is this episode testing that to a greater degree than before?
It's not. I mean, there's always a test, but it's not going to test me as a human being in the sense of, like, caring for the guys in the locker room. I think in the role I'm in, it's a unique role because I've really never been in this role. You know, in the NFL, where even my rookie year, I was a backup, I was number two quarterback, and then played. So this is a unique test and trial right now, just at practice with the reps and everything. And you know, I'm growing as a human being. But the most important thing is just knowing who I am as a person and player. There's no doubt about that. Like, I know I'm in the right situation with the right people. You know, that understand me as a player. I know what I can do because it's been done. But I go out there every single day working. I enjoy the time in the locker room with my teammates and on the practice field just working with those guys to get better. And in the QB room, we have a great QB room that, you know, we're working well together, and that's really important.
When the team, when the Bears moved on from Mitch and signed Andy, what was your, like, emotional reaction?
I mean, I had a talk in private about what was going on that I'm not going to speak about. And you know what? Andy Dalton is a tremendous quarterback, and he's an even better person. And he's, you know, the leader the team needs. And he's doing a great job leading. He's doing a great job impacting and teaching, you know, not only the players but the coaches what he wants done. And you can see that on the field. I mean, the guy's had tremendous success in the league and been a starting quarterback for a long time. And guys are listening. I love being around him. And you know, we get to feed off each other, talk about different things, and it's been great watching him conduct the offense.
Your coaches and teammates have all said you're all in the role that you're in right now. How long did it take for you to get to that point mentally?
You know what, like, is aspiring to be a three what I want? No, it's not. Like, I've shown what I can do. I've shown it in the right situation. I mean, a player wants to be in the right situation where, you know, he's running what he wants to run and doing it the way he wants to do it, and compliments to the coaching staff. But I'm in this situation right now where I'm the three, and that doesn't mean I get complacent. That means I keep working. I do what I would do as if I were the one, come in early, getting the workouts in, you know, doing a little extra after practice, doing what I can with the mental reps, being there to support the quarterbacks and, you know, learn from them and then help them if they want, you know, ask me a question. Being in meetings, having those conversations, talking through plays with the coaches. I come in here every single day to work and, you know, help my teammates be better.
So to some extent, the things that happened to Nick Foles last season, you know, parts of it were out of his control, right? I mean, he came in with an offensive line that was banged up and had COVID issues. It was part of that era of Matt Nagy offense right there where they weren't really running the ball that much and weren't having much success running the ball. The pass protection wasn't great, and the defense really wasn't looking itself. But at the same time, Nick Foles not doing a stellar job individually either. But then, you know, you see he gets the hip injury, and Matt Nagy kind of changes the whole offense for Mitch Trubisky, and they have all this success. And Nick Foles never really got to be part of that and never really got a full-on look. I mean, we're talking, like, what did he play, 9 games at most last season? Less than that. Came in, like, week 3, got out, like, week 10, 11-ish. So we're talking, you know, an 7-8 game stretch there. It was all Nick Foles really got to show us, given sort of the keys to the car as a late comer and a late bloomer with, you know, not a full offseason before. So I can understand why there might be some frustration behind that. But at the same time, it feels like there's sort of this, I don't know, this twinge of ego of, like, well, like, I'm a better quarterback. Like, I'm a good quarterback, and I deserve better than this and XYZ. And certainly he's being paid like a decent quarterback. He's being paid like a starting quarterback. He's the most expensive backup quarterback in the NFL, and obviously then by far the most expensive third-string quarterback in the NFL. But it just feels like some of this, I struggle to call it ego, but this sort of mentality is bleeding over a little bit when it comes to trying to trade him and trying to find that right fit for him on another team, and maybe causing some problems there and just making things what feels like more difficult than it needs to be overall. We'll start to dive into how that's bleeding over into training camp of 2020 and how the Bears are sort of managing all this with Foles and everything else happening with teams around the NFL next on Locked On Bears. This episode of Locked On Bears brought to you by our friends at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. They keep putting out some new prop bets, getting closer and closer to week one, and a couple in particular for you to pay attention to. Indianapolis Colts starting quarterback in week one. The favorite, still Jacob Eason, their backup, but the second favorite, Nick Foles, +300. odds to be the Colts' starting quarterback in week one. Also in there, Brent Hundley, Sam Ellinger, Marcus Mariota for a potential trade. How about Philip Rivers coming out of retirement? That's in there at plus 1,000. Jimmy Garoppolo, Cam Newton, some long shots as well. Or here's a good Bears-specific one for you. Bears starting quarterback in week one. Andy Dalton, minus 1,200. Justin Fields, plus 600. If you start to see Fields at these practices and get confident that maybe he can change Matt Nagy's mind, I'm telling you, the best place to bet on it is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account and enter our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your free 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I have plenty of sympathy for how things went for Nick Foles last year on the field. But I guess I find myself having less sympathy for everything that's happened off the field from the moment they traded a fourth-round pick for him and renegotiated that contract to the contract that he has now that is more favorable than the one he had in Jacksonville, but is still not very favorable for the Chicago Bears, but still quite favorable, I think, for Nick Foles. That, of course, he doesn't want to be the third-string quarterback. Nobody wants to be a third-string quarterback. Maybe Tyler Bray likes being the third-string quarterback, but it can be a cushy job for someone who might not otherwise have a spot in the NFL. But for Nick Foles, he feels he is better than that. And realistically, I mean, he is better than third-string quarterback. You can argue maybe he's no longer truly a starting caliber quarterback, but he is not a third-string caliber quarterback. He's a very firm backup at the very least. And he's a competitor, so he should think that he's better than that. But I get the impression that because of his status or his stature and his contract, he kind of has a little bit more feeling of like he should have more of a say in what his future is going to be. And I kind of feel like, well, as long as you're on the contract that you are, that's very sort of inflexible, you don't get to then sort of demand some of that flexibility then from the team, especially now in the wake of Carson Wentz's foot surgery with the Indianapolis Colts. Frank Reich, the head coach in Indianapolis, was the offensive coordinator for Nick Foles in Philadelphia, along with Carson Wentz. So there's been some natural speculation and connection there. Nothing firmly reported about any discussions or interest as of now as a result of that injury, but clearly a lot of dots to be connected there. And even Nick Foles himself connecting some of those dots. But I do feel like we need to slow down a little bit with Foles and that connection. And Foles, I think, in general, what he's seeking out of a trade and how he sort of views his situation moving forward. Let me know how you feel about the way he talks about himself here as a potential trade chip.
Kind of have to ask this question considering right just before we came in here, we learned that Carson's going to have surgery in Indy. So in terms of that familiarity, you're talking about comfort level. Is that a spot with Frank that you would be comfortable?
Listen, Frank Reich is one of my favorite, if not favorite, coaches of all time. He understands me as a player. He understands me as a person. But, you know, right, I haven't had any talks with him. I don't know. I'm a Chicago Bear right now. But I think if he knows me. He understands. I mean, y'all watched the 2017 season in the playoffs where he changed the offense and built it around me, and y'all saw what happened. So he understood my mentality as a player, and he was able to build it around me and put me in a successful position and my teammates. But that being said, they have Carson, and Carson and I have a lot of history. I have a lot of respect for Carson. He's a tremendous player. He's going through adversity once again, but he'll bounce back. And you know what? He might miss a few games, but I know he'll be back out there. But we haven't had any talks, so right now I'm a Chicago Bear, and I'm going to keep slinging it with these third stringers, and we're going to dice them up.
You've been involved with trade talks for another team. You said you want to be involved in that process. Has that occurred already yet?
There was a couple opportunities that came to be this offseason with a couple teams, but it wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right time or the situation with what was going on. In my life, it's like I said, you don't just want to go somewhere to go somewhere. Like, you want to go somewhere where you know the people somewhat, or you know someone who knows the people that can vouch for the people so you can succeed. Listen, I'm 32. I feel great. The version of me right now is much better than the version that played in the Super Bowl. I'll tell you that. And I'm confident in that. So put that through your mind. I know that. I know what this game's about. You have to have the whole package as a team. Like, you have to have everyone in there. You have top down has to be great. If it's not great, you're going to be mediocre. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And unfortunately, when you're a quarterback, you got to go through a lot of the, you know, baloney. But that's part of it. That's why we play this position. That's why we grow. Because at the end of the day, there might be some kid that's watching this press conference and they say Nick Foles is a three quarterback and he's going out there and his mentality is to dice up that defense and help his teammates.
That strikes me just a little bit like, okay, I know what's best for me, and I, you know, like I need to go to a team that's set up a certain way, or you know, has coaches that I know and I'm familiar with, because otherwise I'm not going to leave. And I don't believe that Nick Foles has like a direct no trade clause in his contract where he can say, oh, I'm not gonna go to this team. You have to get my approval for the team that you're gonna send me. So then, what is there a threat to hold out if you know if you trade him to the Jets or whatever, wherever he, maybe he wouldn't want to go? You know, is that the kind of thing where like, he's gonna refuse? I mean, again, he's making I think $8 million this year and I think close to 10 next year when it's all said and done, and it makes him I think the 26th highest paid quarterback in the NFL this season. And so like, it's not exactly up to you, Nick, and I don't necessarily know that he gets to have this much say at this stage in his career. It's not like he's this valuable piece for the Bears to hold on to, right? I mean, they just should just kind of want to clear that contract if they can find someone to take it and go wherever they can get him. So this idea that there were some talks, but they weren't right for me, for you, Nick Foles, I don't feel like that's a say he gets to have at this point, because this is the NFL. You're going to get that money wherever you go. It's almost fully guaranteed. So like, I certainly think he should get that money, and I don't feel like he doesn't deserve that or whatever. I mean, absolutely, wherever he's going to go, he's still going to get paid. So that's why I don't have as much sympathy for his like the destination, because it doesn't really get to be his choice. Like, he wants to go somewhere where there's good coaches or coaches that can vouch for him. But I would love for him to tell us, okay, where are the bad coaches, Nick? Tell us where the bad coaches are in the NFL. Call them out so we know which teams you don't want to go to because you think they're bad coaches. Like, it just seems like you don't know until you're really in the organization. I mean, you can look from the outside and say, like, Houston looks like a mess right now. Or, I mean, there's one or two or three or four teams here and there, but that leaves another 28 in the NFL that, you know, generally speaking, have some degree of quality of their coaching staff. And I don't know that Nick Foles can sit here and say, oh, I know how every franchise works, and I'm only going to go to whatever couple of situations feel the most right for me. So it just feels like all of a sudden there's this, like, defensiveness, and there's this fire, and there's this passion, and this like confidence of like, I'm better than I was when I was Super Bowl MVP. And I'm just wondering where that was last year when the Bears were losing six games in a row and when the offense really was struggling. And Foles wasn't awful, but he wasn't great. He wasn't really lifting players up. He was just maybe occasionally dragging some down. I mean, there were some flashes of some nice throws downfield, and there were some moments where he's throwing it in the dirt short of the receivers and they're just not on the same page. And yes, there was a lot of different things going wrong, but we didn't necessarily get like fiery, flashy Nick Foles, like, yeah, I'm feeling better and I'm locked in and I'm dialed in and I know exactly what I'm doing. It was kind of just like, you know, the guys we gotta band together and we gotta hold tough. And he was saying the right things, but it wasn't this level of like confident, firing back, kind of standing up for himself and his value type of situation that I'm just like, where does this come from all of a sudden, and where is the justification for some of this based on what we've seen over the last couple of years? It seems like it's a lot of it feels like past justification on the contract that he signed in Jacksonville that he renegotiated for Chicago, and the value Chicago gave up to get him, he no longer has that value to seemingly any team at this point, given the lack of interest in him. And so I don't know where, I mean, it's good for him to have the self-confidence, but at some point that bleeds over into this sort of ego-type situation that I wonder how it impacts the Chicago Bears' ability to make those trades. I sort of get the sense that the Bears are sort of juggling some few different things here, and I don't feel like it's going to resolve itself right away anytime soon. We'll kind of go through why the Indianapolis Colts in particular don't seem like a likely trade destination, at least yet. Next on Locked On Bears. This episode of Locked On Bears brought to you by our friends at BuiltBar.com, the makers of the world's best tasting protein bars. I'm telling you, they all taste like candy bars, but they have all the nutrients of a protein bar. They're all low sugar, low calories, high fiber, and high protein. And trust me, I've looked at plenty of the different types of protein bars on the market, and you can't find this combination of calories. We're talking 130, 140 calories for almost every flavor, 14 grams of protein, under 5 grams of sugar, plus you don't get that weird chalky brick taste that some of the other protein bars have. They're all covered in 100% real chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They taste sweet, and they're absolutely delicious. They come in a bunch of delicious flavors. I've tried every single one up to this point, and I tell you what, I haven't had a bad one yet. I promise you can find a Built Bar you love. Head on over to BuiltBar.com and enter our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Nick Foles might still get traded at some point here this preseason, but it really doesn't feel like it's going to be the Indianapolis Colts, at least not right now, not where things stand immediately in the wake of the Carson Wentz surgery. Of course, like we heard Nick Foles talk about, he and Frank Reich, strong connection. They've known each other for a long time. They coached with, they played and coached together in Philadelphia, and that's when Nick Foles had a lot of his success, and I think he said it's like his favorite coach in the NFL. Of course, Nick Foles would and should want to go start for the Indianapolis Colts in place of Carson Wentz, but I feel like the connection between Foles and Reich is not as strong as the Wentz issue that when Nick Foles came back to Philadelphia, he sort of, and when he played so well, he really shot a lot of Carson Wentz's confidence and derailed a lot of the progress that Carson Wentz had been making. And there was this perception of some sort of friction between Wentz, Foles, and the coaching staff. And maybe it wasn't directly between Wentz and Foles, that they still seemed to be able to get along okay and, you know, not be enemies or anything like that, but maybe some bitterness between from Wentz about how the coaching staff handled the two of them. And it wasn't like it was Foles' decision, so Wentz doesn't maybe hold it directly against Foles, but there's some lingering something there that might cause some problems for Carson again in Indianapolis. And so if you're the Colts, you have to sort of weigh your investments here, right? They traded, what was it, a third-round pick and a conditional second-round pick to get Carson Wentz. We were worried that the Bears might give up more than that to get Carson Wentz, however many months ago that was. They have to protect that draft pick investment. They're not going to trade for a quarterback that they think might ruin what they gave up those draft picks for, right? So it doesn't seem like it's a great mix for Carson in any event, but the other issue here is that it doesn't seem like the Indianapolis Colts are really that desperate to trade for a veteran quarterback for this injury just yet, because Carson Wentz's foot surgery, by all accounts, successful, and they give a 5 to 12 week recovery time, which is a really wide range. Like it could be this amount, or it could be double that amount, and that's all sort of within this accepted potential range. But if you kind of look at where that fits on the calendar, 5 weeks from now with that surgery would be back in time for week one. That would be the most optimistic and most accelerated recovery timeline for Carson Wentz. But it's possible, doctors say it is within the realm of possibility, that Wentz could be ready for week one. So you don't really need to trade for a veteran quarterback if Wentz won't miss a regular season game. Now, there's also then the potential to miss up to, what would that be, I guess 7 weeks beyond the start of the regular season that might make you more inclined to want to add something else at the quarterback spot. But for the Colts, it sounds like they're willing to see how it goes. And maybe once you're a week or two into recovery, you'll have a better sense of how long that recovery is going to be. That if if you're 2 weeks in and he's made a lot of progress, well, maybe he'll be fine by week one and we can be good to go. Or if you're 2 weeks in and it's really been slow and you're like, uh-oh, there could be another 5 weeks after this, then maybe halfway during the preseason, they start to look for a quarterback trade, and then you start to have the same conversation about, is Foles the right one for Wentz in that particular issue? And along with that, it's not only is Foles right for Wentz, but is Foles' contract right for the Colts? Because if you trade for him this year, I believe teams will have to pay $4 million of his salary this year. The Bears will still have to eat the $4 million that they've already sort of guaranteed for Foles this year. And then next year, whoever has Foles' contract will owe him $8 million as the salary cap hit, with that the majority of that fully guaranteed for Foles. And so you have to pay him a decent amount this year, and then he'll be the highest paid backup for you next year. So if you're the Colts, you would really be trading for Foles for just a few games this year and then have to pay him a lot of money next year to still be a very high-paid backup. So the trade is much more of a multi-year investment for who's ever going to end up with Nick Foles than as compared to like just a one-year sort of quick fill-in for Carson Wentz. And that's what makes the Foles contract as it stands right now tough to move. It's whether it's the Jets or the Texans or the Panthers or the Eagles or whatever team would have some sort of interest in Foles as a potential backup quarterback, it's a lot of money to have to pay. So if Foles really cares about only wanting to go to the right destination and really wants to make sure that he's going to go to the right team, then take a pay cut. Renegotiate your contract. I mean, if you really want to have that kind of control and that kind of demand, then make it work for the teams that you might want to go to, because right now the contract doesn't really work that well for the Bears, and it certainly doesn't work very well for a lot of teams that might be interested in trading for him. So I certainly don't mind, like, Foles can make as much money as he wants, and he's allowed to, it's in his contract, that's what he negotiated, and he should pursue as much money as possible. But then if he wants to start playing this I want to go where I want to go game, well, then you start having to maybe sacrifice on that contract. And if that's what he's willing to do, that's what he's willing to do. But it feels a little bit to me like in the NFL, the way it's collectively bargained right now, you just can't quite have it both ways. When you're the third string quarterback and you haven't been playing that well and you're being paid that level of contract and you want to be able to pick where you go, it just consistently has not worked like that in the NFL. And I feel like it's making it just more difficult then for the Bears to move on from this contract that they absolutely got themselves into and deserve any sort of criticism and blame that they get, because it was purely their decision to trade for Foles, give up a fourth round pick, and specifically negotiate this contract that he's on now, because he was Matt Nagy's guy and he was supposed to be sort of the answer here to pay it worth Mitch Trubisky. They got it wrong and now they are paying the price. Now they're just trying to make sure try and find out if some other team might be willing to pay the price. We'll keep an eye on any and all Nick Foles quarterback rumors here and what might happen all throughout training camp and the preseason here on Locked On Bears. So make sure that you subscribe to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. I'm going to keep reminding you that the podcast won't be up to full volume next week and a little bit into the following week. I'm going to be out of town, out of the country. And so I'm going to get some podcast content ready for you a little bit ahead of time, so you'll still have some Bears talk, but we won't be every single day, and we're not going to be dialed in to react to any sort of big breaking news over that time, but we will certainly catch up to anything important that we missed right when we get back. So I hope you'll keep following along. Don't go anywhere while we're gone. I will be right back, just trying to get it out of the way here before the start of the regular season, and we'll have so much more Bears coverage for you from then on out to make it that much easier and that much more fun to bear down.